fun. I want to give you some statistics about Norway. I'm going to be going to Norway January 8th through January 20th on what I believe could be certainly my most important missionary trip to date. But here, let me give you a little background on Norway. If you think you know Norway, well, let me give you some information here. Geographically, now Norway is a long, thin country. The north end of Norway is in the Arctic Circle. I will be in the south end. I don't know if that's going to matter a whole lot, but that's where I'll be. But geographically, Norway is roughly the same square miles as New Mexico, to give you some perspective there. The population is just under 5 million people, about half the size of Los Angeles County, where I live, and less than the population of the state of Washington. The largest city is the capital, Oslo, at about 600,000 people. There are three main ethnic groups in Norway: Nordic, Alpine, and Baltic. 78% of the population is registered as members of the Church of Norway, which is the Lutheran Church. 13% are Roman Catholic. 4.3% make up other Christian denominations. 2% are Muslim. Unlike the United States, Norway has a literacy rate of 100%. 100%. That is an intelligent country. The life expectancy for men is 79 degrees. For women, it is 83 because they spend half their lives on ice. And so they live longer because they're frozen half the time. The government is a hereditary constitutional monarchy with King Harald V, presently the King of Norway. And so that's a little bit about Norway. And now I want to bring on a bona fide, authentic Norwegian, my good friend Bjorn Storm. Bjorn, how are you, brother?
I'm fine, brother. Thank you. How are you?
Do you hear me okay? We have a good connection?
I hear you good.
Good. Okay.
You hear me?
Going into a lengthy biographical sketch of you, I'm going to let you do a lot of that yourself, because I think the folks will be much more interested listening to you talk about you than me talk about you. But to start with, what is your title? What is your role in the Church of Norway?
Well, I work as a preacher. I work right now. I work in a Lutheran organization as a full-time preacher, traveling around in local churches and different also other organizations to preach the Word of God.
And how long have you been doing that? How long have you been serving in that capacity?
Well, I've had this job for, about 6 years now.
About 6 years. And,
yeah.
And how long have you been a Christian?
Well, that's a very good question.
Thanks!
If you ask me today, I would say probably 2 years.
really?
But I have professed myself as a Christian since 9 years ago.
So why do you say that you believe that you may have only been a Christian for the last 2 years? Share your testimony with us.
Well, that is a long story, but basically, when I professed Jesus as Lord in 2004, I was immediately into a Pentecostal church, and I also went to Bible school in this Pentecostal church at once. And if I should sum up, the 2 years that I went there, is that the true mark of a Christian is speaking in tongues and praying out loud, together with other Christians. And that's basically what it is. And I also quite fast, after going to that school, started to preach. And when I look back at what I preached about, it was basically health and wealth and all kinds of prosperity in our lives. I had no focus then whatsoever about living a holy life, I had nothing, and haven't even heard of being obedient to Christ, and I haven't even heard of, how should I tell it, using the scriptures as your manual, that the word of God is the way and how you will know Christ and God. That was, I had never heard of such a thing until 2 years ago. So basically what happened is that I went in a back and forth in a Lutheran church and a Pentecostal church, and you know, I did everything that people wanted me to do, you know, and I said the things that people wanted me to say, and I was popular, and I said some Jesus here and there, but you know, there was no true laying out of scripture. You know, I had no fundament in the word, and probably most important of all, I didn't preach the cross. I never said anything about what Jesus actually did on the cross and why he came. I never said anything about that. It's 2 years ago that I basically the first time ever heard about the wrath of God and the wrath which is to come and what Jesus really did on that cross. I didn't know that before. I heard, you know, some very vague here and there, maybe in a sermon by some old preachers, but I had never understood it, and I definitely have never been taught it, what scripture really says about our lives and what God has done for us, because that's what it's about, what God has done.
Amen.
Take us back
to that first profession of faith. How and why did that come about 9 years ago? What made you, or what led you to make a profession of faith in Christ 9 years ago?
Basically, I was in rehab. I, you know, I was a criminal. I was a drug addict, and been in prison for some years, and came out of there and went to a rehab center which was Christian, and it was a Pentecostal Christian rehab center. And coming there, you know, we played songs, singing worship songs, and you know, they talked about Jesus, you know, but they basically talked about all that Christ could do for us here on earth, you know, how your life could be wonderful, how he could solve all your earthly problems, and that is what I needed. And when I got into that environment, I got to know a lot of nice people, you know, who were good to me, and it was a good feeling, you know. It was all about experiences there, you know, I saw all the others, you know, they professed Christ, you know, so basically I wanted to be a part of that. But there were no, as I said, there were no, nothing inside of me who really knew Christ in any way. So I just wanted Jesus to do for me what they all teach that he could do, that he can take away my drugs, that he can take my criminality, you know, that he can give me a job, that he can give me a good marriage, he can give me maybe even kids, you know. So I professed Christ as Lord and Savior in a little meeting that we had in July 2004. February 2004 it was. I just became a part of the gang and was accepted in a way. But there was no one ever asked me, you know, about things written in scripture, if I was following the word of God, if I was reading, if I was praying. Nobody said anything to me about my life, a true Christian life. It was just, it's just a lot of things, you know, who have no root in the Bible, basically.
Wow. Now, you said that now it was about 2 years ago that you first heard about the wrath of God. How did that happen? How did you hear that?
Yeah, well, as I said, you know, I've been a preacher for 6 years, you know, I have been listening to many of my old sermons, you know, it's amazing that they even would let me preach, you know. I just came from the streets basically and into a rehab center and then into a Pentecostal Bible school for a year, and then they actually put me on stage and I just talked about my life, everything I wanted, everything I could get. And then I did this for 4 or 5 years, you know, and with the Christian leaders cheering at me, you know, they were happy, you know, what I said. I was on the right track, I thought. Then 2 years ago, I, you know, started actually watching sermons in YouTube. There was a pastor who showed me a sermon that he wanted me to see because he thought the sermon was a little bit funny. So he gave me the sermon, and it was Paul Washer, The Shocking Message.
Wow. And this other pastor thought it was funny.
Yeah, because Paul Washer, you know, he's a little bit, compared to the secret sensitive kind of preaching, you know, that's different. That's two different worlds, you know. So he basically showed me that sermon because he thought it was funny. Look at this guy, you know, who talking and shouting and, you know, even crying, you know. And I heard that sermon together with this secret sensitive pastor, and that sermon just spoke right into my life, you know. God used Paul Washer there in that sermon through YouTube to speak to me about my state, about where I was going, that sermon was for me. So I after hearing that sermon, I was in shock, and at the same time, I understood that probably I was on the wrong track. And what basically happened was that I heard that sermon 8 or 9 times, you know, the next two weeks. After listening to that sermon, you know, on YouTube, you know, I found some links on YouTube, you know, to John MacArthur, then John Piper, then Steve Lawson, then R.C. Sproul, and, you know, and then I just started filling myself with sound teaching, and then things really started to happen in my life.
And what started to happen?
Well, first of all, I saw my sin. I saw that I was a sinner, and I saw that I understood then for the first time that I was I was not sure, of course, but the way I read scripture and the way that these guys preach and teach expository the Word of God, I understood and I had that I was on my way to hell, and I heard that it was a hell, that salvation was not about life here and now, but first and foremost, it's about the next life, you know, that Jesus saves us, you know, to be with Him forever and to be in the presence of God. And then I read Romans, you know, 1:18, you know, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man who suppressed the truth in unrighteousness. And this was for me, you know, and I started reading the scriptures because I studied the Word at the same time as these preachers preached the Word of God. And I learned about His wrath, and then I really learned about what the gospel is, what He has saved me from.
When you came to this realization, and it sounds like that is when the Lord saved you,
I think
how did that affect your own preaching?
Well, immediately, actually, when I heard the shocking message the first time, a little over 2 years ago, you know, I stopped preaching for about a month and a half.
Really?
I just listened to sermons, and I started reading the Word of God, and I was praying a lot because I started seeing my sin, and I started seeing that, you know, where I actually was standing before God. So I studied, and I heard a lot of sermons, and the first sermon that I preached after hearing the shocking message was basically about repentance. It was about repentance from sin and giving everything to Christ, and basically that He is Lord, and that we obey Him as Christians. We don't do as we want to. We obey Him as Lord and Savior and our King.
And how was that message received? That first message on repentance.
That is basically when everything in my practical life changed, because from that on I was called conservative Christian, you know. I was this is like old school, you know, which they have which they have preached before in Norway. This, we cannot preach this today, you know. We need to preach being nice to each other. We need to preach, you know, building relationships, being friends, because this is basically what I was taught, and this is basically what the Christian environment that I have been in teach. So what happened, you know, at the same time, you know, I started, you know, studying the Word of God, and I confronted my pastor with this. I confronted him with female pastors, female elders at once, because God suddenly just started showing me things in the Word of God, what I thought was really important for our Christian walk and Christian life and how we did church. And I saw that more and more that I read, I see less and less of it are we actually practicing. So I from that day, I started to be, from being quite popular to be not so popular anymore. it's still going on.
But yet you remain an on-staff preacher for the Church of Norway in your part of the country.
Well, I understood that it's not about pleasing men. It's about being a servant to God. Not even a servant. It's about I'm actually a slave to God.
But they haven't asked you to leave.
What?
They have not yet asked you to leave.
No, actually, they have not. It has been very, very close. But you know, there are some leaders here and there, you know, who practice the Word of God, who believes that God really has written all of Scripture. Then, so there are some leaders, you know, who supported me. But you know, basically, all of my local church and many of my Christian friends, you know, they basically turned their back against me. But I didn't see it at once because they didn't say anything directly to me. They did it behind my back, trying to freeze me out and trying to make other people don't like me. But I understood them. I understood them that it's not about pleasing men. You know, I'm here for God, and He is the one that's to have all glory and honor, and I obey him, I live for him and nobody else. And so then I understood then quite fast that I have to be willing also to stand in a storm, basically.
So let's talk a little bit about the state of the church in Norway. Now, statistics show that 78% of the population is registered Lutheran as part of the Church of Norway, 13% Roman Catholic, 4.3% other Christian denominations. That's 95% of the population. Some people would look at that and say, wow, Norway is a Christian nation. Is Norway a Christian nation?
No, it's absolutely not, and that is one of the great dangers, you know, here in Norway, you know, for example, that actually we are called a Christian nation, you know, and this is because of so bad teaching, you know, because, you know, we are taught here, you know, as basically, you know, if you go to church on Sunday, you're a Christian, you know, and I know it's no different in the United States, but you know, here in Norway, you know, if you go to church on Sunday, and if you come to some couple of extra meetings during Christmas, you know, and these days there are some extra services, you know, for the people, you know, who basically don't go so often to church. If they come there, you know, they're safe. And they're basically also told this by priests and Lutheran leaders.
What role, if any, does the Bible play in the Church of Norway?
Well, I think it's hard to tell for all of the church, you know, because here and there I know that there are true Christians, you know, and there are...
Right, God has his remnants there in Norway,
yeah.
Certainly.
Yeah, but you know, my experience the last, let me say them, this last 2 years as being a preacher, traveling around in Lutheran churches, but also Pentecostal churches, I would say, you know, that the sufficiency and the authority of Scripture is very, very low. And the problem here in the Christian well, the so-called church is the secret sensitive movement who has taken over almost everything. Also, the local state church has been taken over by the secret sensitive. So what they basically teach, if we should sum it up, is basically that be nice, do good works, and we're okay. And there's no cross, there's no sin, there's no judgment, there's no blood of Christ, you know, there's nothing, no true preaching and teaching of salvation anymore. There are some few here and there, but basically, you know, it's very, very bad teaching, it comes of that the problem is, one of the biggest problems is that scripture is no longer used. I could give you tons of examples who've been horrifying for me the last 2 years to see.
Well, give us some of those examples.
Yeah, well, there are many, but for example, you know, I have met, not long ago, you know, I met some Lutheran leaders, youth leaders, grown-ups. You know, the leader is over 40 years old, been in a Christian church for, been in the church for over 20 years, doing youth ministry, you know, and the youth, they don't use the Bible. The leader said to me, you know, they're not ready for it. And he said to me also the last time I was there 6 months ago, no, they were still not ready for it. So they play video games, they play football, they play bowling, they do other activities. And after the gathering, I preached to them. I asked him, don't you think that if we teach the Holy Word of God, if we are on our knees praying, isn't there a chance that the Holy Spirit can move in their hearts? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what Scripture tells us to, you know, to teach the Word and preach the Word and pray? But they basically say, no, I don't think they're ready for it. Maybe this worked before, but not now. There are new times, you know. This is basically what I hear almost everywhere.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And is this the same leader who you had shared something with me during one of our conversations about how the youth are being told to simply say the name of Jesus?
Yeah, that's not him, but that's another youth leader who is he's a pastor actually in not a youth church, but a church with grown-ups. But he also teaches, you know, in the local youth church not far from here, and he basically said I was going to preach there on the Great Commission about going out, and the Saturday before I was going to preach, I went to that church just to see how they were and who they were, and I went there, and then this adult pastor was preaching to them, and he was also going to preach about the Great Commission going out, and what he basically said for 45 minutes was, you don't have to know what's written in the Bible. If you just go out on the streets and say Jesus, you have to, and then you can just rely on that. To him is given authority in heaven and in earth. So you don't have to do anything. It's all in him. So you just say Jesus. And he basically said that, you know, you don't have to know Jesus through the scripture. You don't have to read scripture. You just say the name of Jesus, you know, So then the next Saturday when I was preaching, I didn't preach about the Great Commission. I preached about the authority of Scripture and the sufficiency of Scripture.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I was not so popular back then, but I just had to do that, you know, because I basically asked them, do you know Jesus? And how do you know him?
Yeah.
So.
Amen. Now you've had our good friend Shane Sands out there with you since the beginning of November, and Shane's been doing a little open air preaching. How has that been received? How has the open air preaching and the public reading of scripture, how's that been received there in Norway?
Well, the feedback, you know, that I have gotten has been some of the Christians think it's good, you know, because I think, you know, many people see that what they're doing, you know, it's not biblical. You know, we just houses every Sunday, you know, and pray that people will come there. There are almost none who go out in the street. So we have gotten some very good feedback by some Christians who have seen it and who have walked by when Shane has preached. But I've also heard, you know, skeptical things but basically I think the feedback has been quite good.
Excellent. You're listening to Cross Encounters Radio. This is Tony Neon, and our guest is Bjorn Storm from Norway. If you've got a question for Bjorn about evangelism and Christianity in Norway, give us a call at 646-652-2316. Again, that number is 646-652-2316. Or if you're listening live and are in the chat room, you can ask your questions there, and Chris will get those to me. Now, how did you and Shane meet? Because Shane's an evangelist here in the United States. You're in the south end of Norway. How did you two meet?
Right. That's a really, really good story, you know, because, you know.
Uh-oh. We just lost Bjorn there for a second. Chris, if you could try to get him back in, that would be great. It looks like Skype dropped Bjorn, so let's try to get him back on the line. Remember, now Bjorn is calling us from Norway. It is now 3:30 in the morning in Norway. They are 9 hours ahead of us here in Southern California. And so, you know, we definitely want to thank Bjorn for staying up all night. And these guys are putting in long days. Bjorn and Shane, they're up in the morning and they're going to meetings, they're leading Bible studies, they're preaching in different churches, they're out on the streets reading scripture, and if we're able to get them back on the line, and if Shane's there, I want Shane to share a couple of testimonies of responses he's had from people just from reading the Word of God aloud in Norway. And you know, while we're waiting to get Bjorn back on the line, I wanted to ask you folks to be praying for one of our faithful listeners. Her name is Carla Tamayo from Peru, Lima, Peru. Yes, we have listeners in Lima, Peru. Isn't that a blessing? Carla had a mishap, fell down a flight of stairs, and she is in bed right now. She's banged up, bruised, sprains, and she tells us tonight in the chat room that she's able to move her hands, but yet she's going to be okay, is what she tells us. So keep praying for Carla. Carla's in the chat room tonight and encouraging other brothers and sisters in Christ while she is laid up and banged up after a pretty nasty fall. So be praying for Carla. All right, it looks like we got Bjorn back on the line. Bjorn, how are you, buddy? You back?
Yeah, I'm back, brother.
Okay. Let's see, where were we? How did you and Shane meet? I think that's the last thing I asked you.
Yeah, well, one of the things which happened, you know, 2 years ago, after I received the shocking message, you know, and the months went by, and I saw that more and more of those that I called friends, you know, they left me. Basically, 1.5 years ago, I felt totally alone. And I'm not a fan of social media because I deleted my Facebook account, you know, because I sat there and I used too much time talking about things that was no use to me. But I just had this feeling, you know, that I was okay. Let's just make a Twitter account to preach the Word of God and to tweet scripture, you know. And what basically happened is that after getting this Twitter account, I started knowing some American Christians, and I first met a gentleman called Ralph Prowlands, and he introduced me to a lot of Christians through Twitter, which I still have a lot of contact with, which Shane was one of them, and that has been actually one of the biggest blessings in my life the last 1.5 years, because I sat down and I asked God, what am I supposed to do? Please, I need some brothers and sisters, you know, in Christ, some true brothers, you know, who support me, you know, and support the preaching of the cross, you know, and to who understands the importance of Scripture, things like that. I prayed to God, and then suddenly I got to know a lot of great Christians through Twitter, which Shane was one of them.
And how did Twitter come in the way?
I didn't hear anything of that. It was really bad connection now.
Oh, sorry.
That was very hard for me to hear, brother.
Okay, they say I'm breaking up.
Now it's good.
Okay, very good. All right. You know what? The enemy doesn't like this show, I don't think, because we're talking about very important things. When did you make the decision to invite Shane to come to Norway?
Well, that was this summer. A little bit before the summer, I was tweeting with some great brothers on Twitter, and I think it was Ralph Provence, who just told me that Shane was going to Europe, and then I had followed Shane on Twitter, but I had never spoken to him, and I just said to him, you know, oh, while you're in Europe, you know, please come to Norway, and I didn't really, in a way, mean it for real. I thought it was just something that I just threw out on me, you know. And suddenly, a couple of days later, he tweeted back to me and said, actually, I have 4 days that I can come to you. and so he came then this summer, and it was a true blessing.
Hey, we've got a dear friend on the line, great open-air preacher in his own right and a full-time missionary, Bobby McCreary. Or is it Bobby McCreary? No, Bobby's in Georgia. Who's this? Which Bobby is this?
Am I on?
You're on, Bobby.
Tony, this is Louisville Bobby in Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and actually, the reason why I wanted to call in, I've been listening to Bjorn, and he and I have been great friends on Twitter. I've been following this guy from the time he started on there. He has been such an inspiration to me. He has been so encouraging. And to hear his testimony tonight has been just awe-inspiring. And I just want to thank him for his friendship and just thank him for what he's doing over there in the name of Christ in Norway. It's wonderful.
Now, Bjorn, have you ever heard Bobby's voice? You communicate with him on Twitter, but have you ever heard his voice?
No, never. That was it was a blessing. Thank you very much. It's Bobby's one of those who really encouraged me, and he's one of those who really has made many of my days easier. You know, because I met true brothers like him who I really can feel support from, and true love, actually, even if I never met him, you know, and these other people on Twitter, you know, you can just feel it the way when we can write back to each other, you know, and talk about the things of God, you know, you feel the bond there, you know, between true brothers. So it's a true blessing. I rejoice in that.
It really is. The community that we have online and using Twitter as a format to get our message out is just, It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I
think Paul would be absolutely beside himself if he had Twitter and he had Skype and things like that to further the gospel. But, you know, Jesus said, and often this is taken so badly out of context, but Jesus said, you will do greater things than these. And it's not that anyone would ever do anything greater than Jesus or be greater than Jesus, even though there are some heretics out there who would like to think they are. But just the scope of ministry, you know, Jesus's ministry, his earthly physical ministry, was relegated primarily to about a quarter mile to a half mile stretch of coastline on the northeast shore, or northwest shore rather, of the Sea of Galilee. And here we are, we've got Carla from Lima, Peru, being encouraged in the chat room. We've got Bjorn in Norway. We've got Bobby in Kentucky. We've got me in California, all sharing the common bond of the gospel of Jesus Christ and being able to encourage one another and to put the gospel out there. And in just in scope alone, people.
It's a bad connection now, brother. Sorry, I don't hear anything. It's very bad connection.
Wow.
Now,
yeah, I don't.
I hear you clearly now.
Oh, okay, now good. All right. Okay. Well, Bobby, we want to thank you for calling in, brother, and thank you for taking the time to come on and to encourage Bjorn and letting him hear your voice.
Tony, can I say one thing more to Bobby, please?
Yeah, please. Absolutely.
Yeah, I just want you to know, Bobby, that getting to know you and also, you know, Julie and Annie and other friends on Twitter has really been an answering of prayers for me. And we have tweeted back and forth, you know, and I've been saying to you, you know, that I love you and that it meant a lot to me. But I just want you to hear me say that I mean it from the bottom of my heart, that it's a true blessing. And I hope and pray that we will actually get together one day and worship God and Christ together, you know, because it has changed many things in my life the last years, having contact with you and my other friends on Twitter. It has strengthened me, and I thank God for you every day. So I just want to say God bless you, brother.
Your words are very edifying. Thank you very much. And you know I feel the same way. And I'm going to let you guys get back to the interview. I'm going to keep listening.
All right. God bless you, Bobby. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Tony.
All righty. Bye-bye. Man, that was wonderful. Again, our call-in number is 646-652-2316 is the number, 646-652-2316. We're having some technical difficulties. I'm going to make Blog Talk. It's a great platform for basically, you know, pennies on the dollar. We're able to put the show out every Sunday, and so we're very grateful for that. Now, Bjorn, you had this crazy idea to invite me to come to Norway.
Absolutely.
What were you thinking?
Well, I think it's about time that you come here and see a real Arctic winter, I think we would. So when you arrive from the plane, you will receive this local suit with fur inside of it, which goes from the bottom of your feet until to the top of your head, which you're going to wear when you're out preaching. It's like which we use in the snow, and all the farmers here use it. It's thick. It's almost bulletproof, I think. But you're going to wear one when you come. Looking forward to it.
Well, thank you very much. Because I cannot find Arctic clothing here in Southern California.
Oh, but we'll take care of you when you come.
Thanks, God. So, hey, Bjorn, tell the listeners a little bit about what you're going to have me do there while I'm there.
Well, there are so many things that I would like you to do when you're here, but you know, one of the things, you know, I'm arranging this conference in January for pastors and preachers and leaders, basically, and Michael Morrow, the mentor of Paul Washer, and Don Curran, co-worker also of Paul Washer, will come and preach and teach. And of course you're going to be attending that conference too, you know, and just being there together with many Norwegian leaders, speaking to them of the things of God, interacting with them. I think that is extremely important. Getting to know people like yourself who have your background and your view on the Word of God and how you see things, which I think is correct through the Scriptures. I think that will be one of the important things when you come here. Then also you're going to preach in the local church here. We are fixed so you can preach in two meetings. I think it will be a lot of people coming that evening, so you will preach. But one of the most important things that I want you to do and that I pray for is that you interact and that you will know the Christian leaders and just talk to them on things of God. Challenge them, but also comfort them and try to help, you know, seeing things more clearly and edifying them and really help them to understand, pray for them that the Word of God is our source for everything as Christians. And of course, you will preach in our home church, which me and Shane are having, and we're really looking forward to that.
Now, what can you tell us? I know there are certain things that we're trying to hold close to the vest, because some of the things we're going to be doing are going to be very sensitive, could have, you know, a huge impact on the body of Christ there in Norway. But what can you tell us about what you are doing to lead an effort in this home fellowship that you're doing?
Well, basically what I try to do is preach and teach truth and try to inspire and edify people to use the Word of God and to be in prayer and to not only study, but also practice. Like I read a great verse in Ezra 7:10, you know, where Ezra, he studied the Word of God, you know, and he practiced the Word of God, and he teached it to others. So in this home fellowship, we're just going through books now, expository. Shane is currently preaching the First Peter, verse by verse, you know, because all of the Word of God is holy and true, so we cannot skip anything. We need to take everything, and that's not
Amen.
Because we want to be, professors or knowing all the Bible verses. That's not the point. The point is that this is food, because man don't live by bread alone, but every word that goes out of the mouth of God. So that's everything. So Amen. And I believe just teaching sound doctrine, teaching truth. You know, I have. That's the most important thing that I can do.
Now, Bjorn, is what you're doing with this home fellowship, would this be considered unusual by the established church in Norway?
Some of it, yes. And what will be unusual is that it's basically how we do things, you know, because there are many, many home churches, you know, here also in this place, but they basically do for, if the home group is for 2 hours, you know, they have food for 1 hour, and then they just talk about their life for 40 minutes, and then they have 20 minutes again, and then they sing some songs, and maybe 10 minutes they read a couple of verses. What we do is that we just get together, you know, and we have focus on the Word of God and the teaching of the Word. And also this with expository preaching is very, well, I would say almost new in Norway. There are some preachers some years ago, some old people who, one of them died in 94 and one of them died in 2001, or there were almost 100, both of them. They taught expository and they taught really truth, but there are a few of them. So in the secret sensitive context that I'm in, you know, in the secret sensitive church here in Norway, many things that we do are considered new in a way.
Wow. Now, can you talk at all about our possible trip up to Oslo, which is about 8 hours to the north of you?
Yeah, well, I have asked, you know, the main leaders of the organization are working in Norway for a meeting, and they have not confirmed yet, but the leader here in this region has confirmed, so he will be joining us. And what I basically think is that I pray that we can go and meet them and just sit down as brothers and talk about the things of God. And I want to talk about everything from female pastors and elders to preaching the Word, to creation, to the end times, to eschatology. You know, I just want to talk about the things of God. There will, and I think it could be, a very interesting meeting, you know, and a very important one. I know it is. So that's something that I pray for. It will happen.
Thank you for listening. Shane, Bjorn, and the area leader of the Church of Norway in Bjorn's area travel to Oslo to sit down in conference to have conversation with the leaders of the national church and to talk to them about bringing the Word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ back to every church in Norway. And, you know, it's not hyperbole, it's not exaggeration. And I'm going just based on what I've heard from Bjorn and Shane over the last month and a half or so. It is possible that Norway could be on the cusp of a reformation where the Word of God and the centrality of Christ and the preaching of the gospel is returned to the Church of Norway. I mean, am I overstating that, Bjorn?
No, I don't think that you are. You know, we have to take it step by step, you know, because
of
there
course.
Are, but, you know, everything has to be of God, you know. It's if
Amen.
Because I'm the kind of person who would like to do everything yesterday. And I
yeah,
could,
me too.
Yeah, so I could basically, if it was up to me, you know, I would just travel around to all the churches that I see do something that's not unbiblical and just, boom, you know, talk to them and confront them in all ways, you know, but it's something going step by step here, you know, and I do believe that something has already started. There's no doubt about that. But only God will know, and Christ will know how fast things will go and which direction this will go, you know. So, but it's very 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 exciting things that's happening right now. And there are leaders, you know, who. Just to say some, I cannot say too much, but the one thing that I can say, one thing that I can say that there are things happening. And 6 months ago, one of the leaders, he blamed me and he accused me of prosecuting the Christians. Now the same leader who accused me of prosecuting the Christians has totally repented. He has totally turned. And now everything is about bringing the gospel out, the cross, the blood of Christ, the paying for our sins, the resurrection, the judgment, the sin, and preaching the true expository Word of God. The Word of God expository again. And this has changed just the last 6 months. There are things, exciting things happening, and that has nothing to do with me or anybody else. That has to do with God showing mercy and granting repentance.
Amen. Amen. And Bjorn, you stated it so well that everything that happens there in Norway has to be of God. It can't be derived from men. It can't be the will of men. It can't be the plans and the programs of men. It has to be the Holy Spirit moving upon the hearts of the people. And we know that His gospel is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that's what Norway, like the rest of the world, needs more than anything else. And that is the clear biblical preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, amen. Bjorn, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. Again, folks, it's 4 o'clock in the morning in Norway. Bjorn shouldn't be on a radio show. He should be in bed getting ready for the next day. So Bjorn, we are very blessed, brother, that you would come on and spend so much time with us. Just looking at the chat room, the people are excited. They're going to be praying for you and your work and Shane and me and the leaders in Norway. And I cannot wait to get there. And knowing that I have a warm farmer's jumpsuit makes me all the more eager to come.
Yeah, you'll be taken care of. I promise you that.
I know that, brother. Yeah, I love you very much, and my love to Shane and to the family. And look forward to talking to you guys this week and seeing you in the next few weeks.
Yeah, thank you so much, and God bless you.
All right, have a great night or morning.
Bye.
Take care, brother. All right, bye. That was Bjorn Storm, a godly man, who literally had a Saul to Paul kind of experience, in a sense. I mean, here was a man who was a hardened criminal, spent time in prison in Norway, was a drug addict. The Lord brought him out of that lifestyle, brought him out of that sin, eventually brought him to the truth of God's word and what salvation really means, what it really is, and that salvation is of the Lord and not of the musings and manipulations of men, saved this man in an extraordinary way, and now is using him to reach his entirety with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's exciting. And to be allowed to not, you know, even have a small part in what's happening, but to be able to go to Norway and watch the Lord work, to be able to go to Norway and watch the Lord move, to be able to go to Norway and see firsthand that his word does not return void, to be able to be used by God to encourage the remnant that is there in Norway, and to maybe be used by God to bring leaders in the state church to repentance. It has to entirely be of God. It has to entirely be of His Spirit, or I'm just going there on vacation. And I've already told Bjorn, I am not coming on vacation. Let's work. Let's get as much done as we can. Use me, abuse me. Let's do whatever we have to do in the short time that I'm there. And I already have a sense that this won't be my last trip to Norway. So please be praying about that. And, you know, if you're so inclined, people have been very generous thus far in giving to the work that I'm doing out on the streets. And many of you who give to the ministry are listening now. You're a blessing every day, not just in your gifts, but your notes of encouragement. We are getting cards here at the house. You know, your prayers, all of that has been a great, great encouragement to me and my family. And so if you would like to participate in a financial way, in a tangible way, for this trip to Norway and the ongoing work that I'm doing out on the streets, you can go to teammiano.com. That's teammiano.com. Simply click on the donation button at the top of the page and you'll have all that information there. I don't spend a lot of time talking about that on the show because the show is not an infomercial. The show is about the gospel. The show is about bringing glory to God and glory to Christ and telling whoever we could tell through this simple mom and pop show that God is glorious, His gospel is great, and He is saving people around the world for His glory. And He is using the base things and the foolish things. He's using wretched sinners like you and me to further His gospel to a lost and dying world. And I know there are 1,000,001 ministries you could support. No doubt there are many that are far more worthy of your time and attention than the Miano family. But if there is anything you could do to support us in this work, we would be very thankful. And if not, please pray. Pray for us. Our family has gone through radical changes over the last few months. Now that I'm back to being full-time on the streets and raising support for me and my family, Maria's working out of the home for the first time in 27 years. And these changes have been a challenge, but it's been a joy to watch God work and to see Him move and to see Him answer prayer. And so please keep praying for us. Pray for our family. And we'll leave it at that. So All right. That was a very encouraging segment. I think you know why I'm so excited about getting to go to Norway and to be part of what God's doing there, to be able to meet Bjorn in person. I mean, I feel like I know him as a very close brother just from our FaceTime on Skype and emails and that sort of thing. And, of course, Shane is a dear brother. We preached together in London for the Olympics. That was the first time I got to meet Shane in person. And I'm already knit in heart to these dear brothers and cannot wait to stand side by side to them, whether in the rain or in the snow or whatever the Lord may provide by way of weather, whether it's indoors or outdoors. I cannot wait to get out there and to hug these brothers and to pray with these brothers and to preach with these brothers and to hopefully bring the gospel to as many people as he would allow for his glory, for God's glory.